So we left off last week, Kuf Amar Aleph. Let's review a little bit. On Yom Kippur, there were quite a few karbonos that were offered. There were two sets of karbonos. In Parshas Pinchas, you have all the musafim listed for Shabbos, for Rosh Chodesh, for Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So there's a series of list of karbonos that you bring out musaf on Yom Kippur. Then in Parshas Achrimais, there's a different list of karbonos. It's not really musafim, it's for kapara. It's in order to get kapara saveris. So two of the karbonos that are brought on Yom Kippur, the par v'sor, both of them are in Achrimais, not in Parshas Pinchas. Two of them had to have zrikas hadam in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in front of the Oren. The Baisheni, towards the end of the Bais Rishon, the whole Baisheni, the Oren wasn't there, it was in the basement in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kohen Gadol would berserk the dam in front of the Eben Shesia, gigantic stone there. Eben Shesia, that's where the Oren B'Teluchas used to be positioned. So he used to berserk the dam of the Parachatas HaShaloi, the Parachatas that the Kohen Gadol pays for. And the Soil Hashem, there were two Soil Hashem and Soil Azaz, two goats. So one goat they pushed over the cliff, that's the Soil Azaz, and the Soil Hashem was a chatas that they brought in the Beis Hamikdash. There was Rikas Hadam and the Kodesh Kodashim separately. Then in front of the Paroiches separately, Parachatas HaShaloi and the Soil. And then they mixed the dam together, Ma'arvin Lekronis. They would mix together Lokach HaKoy Midam HaPor Midam HaSoir. They mixed the dam together and they did the Zrika in the four kindness of Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach HaZohov, and the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the Mizbeach HaKtoris. And then they did seven Zrikas Al Tor Al Gag, and the Gag HaMizbeach. So the Gemara was bothered with the question, how can the Kohen Gadol fulfill that Pasuk? It's an impossibility. When you mix together the Dam HaPar and Dam HaChat, Dam HaSoir, Dam HaPar and Dam HaSoir, Par is a big fat behemoth, and the Soir is a skinny behemoth. So when you mix the dam together, there's going to be way more dam apur than there's going to be dam asur. So Shabili says, batul berayis. And when he zerk the dam, true, the dam is mixed in together. There is dam asur, but it's batul berayis. So if it's batul berayis, it should be considered kemisha eno. So he's not really in fulfillment of doing the zrike on the mizbeach haplimi, on the dam asur. So the Rabbi Yehuda says, from this pasuk we derive to call it terkula, that whenever it's min b'mina, it's not bottle. Since this is dam and that's dam, so min b'mina, when they say something is bottle, if chaz hashmatz falls into vegetable soup and you can't taste it, so it's a different flavor, it's a different thing, so it loses its identity in the conglomerate. So I consider it as if there is no chaz hashmatz, because it's something other than chaz hashmatz. It's a vegetable soup. But if it's min b'mina, it's water falls into water, wine falls into wine, and dam falls into dam. So what do you mean it loses identity? It's no longer dam. It fell into dam and it is dam. It's all the same thing. This is dam and that's dam. So it retains its status. So the dam apar, dam asar stays there. So we have that in kisei adam, per kisei adam. Dam behema, when you shech the behema, there's no mitzvah kisei adam. Only when you shech chai v'yof. If you have a big bottle full of dam behema, and then you don't need kisei adam. Then you shech chai v'yof, and a little bit of dam comes out, but way more, the puddle is way more dam behema, that's not chai v'yof, kisei adam. And now the dam chai v'yof gets mixed in. So Rabbi Yehuda says, dam v'dam is not bottle, mimimim is not bottle, and you have to do kisei adam. Where is the dam achaya? It's mixed in all over, so you have to cover all the dam. You have to have ofel l'mayla, ofel l'matan, and all the dam. And the chachamim, we paskin. The Pashta says we don't accept Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. I that pasuk v'lokach hakoy midam apam midam asor. So the Chacham say no, that's a different din. Olim, the kan lo olim, things that are carved on the mizbech ain't mevatan zeze. Xeris hakos, but it doesn't carry over to any other case of min b'mina.
You have to copy everything because we don't know where it is.
Probably.
Otherwise, you don't have to copy all the dam.
That was a machlokes also. I think we assume we're supposed to cover all the dam that came up in shashchita. But all the dam came out from the chicken or the turkey, but where is it? So you have to cover the whole puddle full of dam, because the dam oaf is all over the place, and it's not bottled.
But what we're assuming always that you put in more dam from the par?
Usually the dam is, the par is a fatter animal.
Yeah, but why do you have to
Could be the reverse also.
No, why couldn't you put in equivalent amounts of the soil, dam of soil?
If it would be exactly 50-50, then neither would be bottled berive.
Right.
But the odds are a million to one, a billion to one, that it's not going to be exactly 50-50.
So why do you have to do that? Why can't arrange it that way? You have to take all the dam that came out and put it in?
No, you don't have to.
So put in just the amount of a similar amount.
the odds are 5 billion to 1 that it's not going to happen like that. Either the Dhamma Sor is going to be more, the Dhamma Por is going to be more. How can it be? It's going to be exactly 50-50. Highly improbable.
Last week's question, the Malach comes down and does half the blood.
Okay, if you have a Malach to measure, okay. So how do we paskin? That paskin in Chumash. So our beauty says from there we learn, we derive. The min is not bottle. The Rabbana disagree. How do we paskin? So that was a big machloikis, Rashi and Tosis. So Rashi that we had already. Where was the Tosis? Tzadik Zayin Amin Aleph. Here, this gigantic Tosis. And Tzadik Zayin Amin Aleph is a gigantic Tosis. Omar Rover. So they start off the Tosis. The Kamon, the Territal Abbasid, Dav Kuftes. Pasuk Pukuntris Rashi Pasuk is like Rabbi Yudit, the Mim, the Minolei Bottle, etc. And then Taisa says we don't accept that. Shulchan Aruch, we don't follow Rashi. We follow Taisa's that Mim, the Minolei is Bottle. So this Machlekes Hatanayim was a Machlekes Amoraim as well. So that's an Ar Gemara, that's what's going on. So that we started last week, I think, how far did we go? We left in the middle, I think. Let's do again. So in the middle of Kufa and Aleph, you have Rabbi Barbachana was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan in Eretz Yisrael. Then he came to Bavel and he tells over a lot of demons. And Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shmuel did the first generation of Amoraim. Rabbi Yechanan also learned from Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Rabbi learned, Rabbi got smicha from Rabbi Yudah Nasi. And Rabbi Barbachana is a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. So Dorash, Rabbi Barbachana comes to Bavel and he says, Chaticha shal nevela, or shal dak tomei, either shtik nevela, or a piece of not all fish are kosher if you don't have fins and scales, a trade for fish. So if it falls into a pot full of food, so if you have shishim, it's bottle, and the shishim can be anything in the pot is mitzarif to make shishim. Enoi seris, the trade for fish or the trade for nevela, the flesh only asses the pot. Ashetitin tam beroitev of ikipu v'chatichas. You have other shtik flesh in the pot. You have other pieces of fish in the pot, whatever. So if you have shishim and everything all together, then it does nasa. Even though it's min b'minoi, the flesh, kosher flesh in that pot is mitzdarif to make shishim, to be mvatla trefa flesh that fell in. The two taruvas in here. If there's a trefa piece of flesh that fell in and you have other pieces of flesh, you don't know which is the trefa piece. It all looks exactly the same. The trefa and the veila with the kosher fish, if it all looks the same, so that's called the tarubis of yavish biyavish. Even though it's with a lot of soup there, a lot of liquid, it's still that's called yavish biyavish. You can't identify which is the trefa. So the din is yavish biyavish. Minoy chad betray is bottles. So if you have two kosher pieces and one nevela piece, one trefa piece, so the tarubis yavish biyavish is bottle chad betray. But you're cooking it with a roitiv, so the nesinas tam is going to go from the nevela flesh, from the trefa fish into the kosher fish, and from the nevela flesh. So then, for that, you need the shishim. For the tarubis, you don't know which chaticha is the nevela. If you don't know which chaticha is the nevela, we call that a tarubis yavish biyavish, and it's bottle chad betray. And as far as the nesinas tam, so then he says everything is mitzarf to be mevatl b'shishim.
Shishim is to be the salad. The salad against the same salad?
The salad with the soup, with the kippah, everything in the pot is mitzarif to be mashlam to the shishim. Why? Because he, Rabbi Barbachana, probably quoting Rabbi Yechanan, he doesn't say, he learned Rabbi Yechanan, he holds that mim mina is bottle. So the flesh in the pot is mitzarif to make shishim to be mevatle trefa flesh, or the nevela flesh that fell in. So Rav is not happy. So Rav says, I got to make an announcement. No one should listen to Rabbi Barbachana, because he's wrong, because Rav and Shmuel hold like Rabbi Yudah. The mim mina b'mashehu.
So if you don't have shishim in the liquid and the vegetables, whatever else is there, but you do have two pieces of kosher meat and one piece of trefa meat, so the meat you can eat and the soup you can't eat?
No, you can't eat the meat either, because it has the flavor.
But we don't consider
it rov. It is batel b'rov, so the piece of meat is kosher, but it has a blia from the trefa piece of meat, wherever it is, whatever it's hiding. I don't know which one it is, but it has a blia from the trefa meat. We have two issues here. So if you resolve the yavish b'yavish, but you haven't resolved the nesiras tam, so then you can't eat it because it has a trefa blia in it. Okay, so Rabbi Barbachana says that mimimina will be bottled. So he says the chatichas of flesh in the pot are mitzarif to make shishim. He doesn't say how can it be flesh and flesh is mimimina can't be mevatel. He doesn't hold like Rabbi Yudah. We don't pass like Rabbi Yudah either. So Rav does paskin like Rabbi Yudah. So Rav, uki Rav Amora Ale, and Amora means one who would Amorai means that they were clearer when they spoke. And in the days of the Tanoim, they would sometimes debate. I think the Romans had a style of debating. Sometimes the Tanoim debate, they argue with each other and they don't say what they really mean. Amoraim are more explicit. They explain better. So an Amora means in the days of the Amoraim, they had no loudspeaker. So in order that if there was a big crowd, so you need the rabbi should scream on top of his lungs. So the rabbi wasn't such a good screamer. So the rabbi would whisper the shiur to someone on his side, one of the Talmidim, and the Talmud would say it out loud. So Uki Rav Amora Alei, Rav asked one of the Talmidim to publicize V'dorash, tell him in public, I don't pass on like Rabbi Babachana, because I hold like Rabbi Yudit, Mimimim is B'mashu. So how does he express it? He says, Kivishin Osan Tamachaticha, the piece of trefa fish, or the piece of trefa nevela, or trefa meat, if it... Originally, if you cooked it together in a pot with a little treif of meat, with kosher meat, or the treif of fish with some kosher fish, and it gave in the sinas tam in the kosher fish, so you can't eat the kosher fish now. So now, kivin shenasan tam b'chaticha, that chaticha itself, the chaticha's heta may not be eaten now, because it had the sinas tam from the treif of fish. Chaticha atzmanas nevela becomes osa. The seres kol chaticha skul of nesha hemino. And the din is that min b'mino is b'mashu. So since there's a blia of treif of fish and the kosher fish, so now if you have more, originally I cooked the treif of fish with the kosher fish, there was no shishi. So the treif of fish gave in the sinas tam into the kosher fish. Now I put in a ton of kosher fish. I have a ton of kosher fish now. So now I say, since there's a blia of the trefa fish and the kosher fish, and now there's a lot of kosher fish, a ton of kosher fish, so mimimina is b'mashu. So the Gemara says, why did he go like this? What do you have to say? First he cooked the trefa fish with a few kosher fish and there was no shishin. So made everything treif. And then he pours in a ton of kosher fish. And since there's a blia of trefa fish and the kosher fish, so that bliya is b'mashu with the other kosher fish. Well, you have to go two steps. The trefa fish is still there. That's what he has to kasha. Omalei Rav Safra le'abaye, so he says, he was a few generations later, so he says, what did Rav say over here? It doesn't make any sense. Michti Rav keman amor l'shmat. Who is Rav basing his idea on? Rav Yudah. Rav Yudah holds me'mimena le'botl. And we know that Rav and Shmuel both paskin like Rav Yudah. That's where Rashi paskins like Rav Yudah. The me'mimena masha, because Rav and Shmuel say like that. So what did he say? Because he cooked the trefa fish first with kosher fish and there was no shishim. And then you pour a ton of kosher fish in, so the kosher fish with the bli of the trefa fish is mimimina, mimimina mashu. What do you have to go two steps for? Ma yirikinos and tam, what do you have to say? Because the trefa fish gave a tam into the kosher fish. Then that tam goes right and gets mixed up with all more kosher fish. Kilonos and tam nami, what do you need the middle point for? The original trefa fish is still there, so the trefa fish is b'mashu with all the ton of the kosher fish later. Amalei, so Abayan says back, no, hachma askinim, but she caught him a silk, and the ma'aseh shayu was like it. What Rav is saying is like this. By mistake, you cooked a piece of trefa fish with kosher fish, and you see that this is a whale, and that's a tuna fish. So obviously the whale is treif and the tuna fish is kosher. So then I take out the whale and I feed it to the dogs, whatever. And now I cook, and now I have a ton of kosher fish added on into the pot. So now, since the whale gave a flavor, on the assumption all the fish taste the same, it's not exactly true. That's the question. How do you decide what's mimimina? Mimimina means basa shmazlina, basa taimazlina. They say fish and fish is mim b'mina, even if they taste, even if each fish tastes differently. But you say, no, mim b'mina means basa taima azlina, not basa shma. So Masechus Avodah Zarah, that's machlekes Abai v'Rava. It's not for the Al-Kigam, so we pass like Rava. Rava says you go basa shma azlina, not basa taima. Basa shma. So fish and fish, let's say, different kinds of fish. Each fish has a different taste. But flesh also, a lot of times, different pieces of flesh taste differently from different animals, but basa with basa is called mimimina. Even though the taste is different, you go basa shmo, what is it called? So basa and basa is mimimina, fish and fish is mimimina. So he says, we're talking about a case like this. You cook the whale with some kosher fish, and it gave the sinas tam. And then you realize, what's the whale doing over here? The whale is drapes, so he takes out the whale, he feeds it to the dogs. And then he throws in a ton of kosher fish. So the bliya from the whale into the kosher fish originally, now it's mimimina with all the rest of the kosher fish. Mimimina is b'mashu. That's why you had to have the middle stage, because b'tokim kodem silko. They identified which was the whale, and they threw out the whale. And it still is b'mashu. Still is b'mashu. And Rava Amar, Rava says, you don't have to say kodem silko. The statement of Rav doesn't have, because Rav didn't say that he's talking kodem silko, that they threw out the whale and they fed it to the dogs. And because the whale gave it a sinas tam into the small part of the kosher fish, and now you have a ton of additional kosher fish thrown in, so now you say mimimina mashu. The Rav says, no, be the tema, even if the case would be loy kodem silko, he didn't throw out the whale is still there, it's still relevant to say that the whale asses the kosher fish that it was cooked in the small pot, and then when I throw in another ton of kosher fish, it's going to be mamasho because mimimina, but it's going to be mimimina mamasho anyway because the whale is still there. Yeah. So what do you have to say that you have more trips? So he says, no, there's a din. Mina mina v'dover acher salakas mina kimshen shemini rabol mevatla. It's a tongue twister. What it means is the following. Let's say I have trefa wine falls in with trefa wine, grosha wine falls in with kosher wine. So according to Rabbi Yudit, mim b'mina b'mashu. So it doesn't become bottle. But I have a bor shel yain. What do you call a bor?
A pit.
Yeah, a container. Okay, let's say a container. So I have, let's say, 60 gallons of kosher wine, and half a gallon of trefa wine falls into 60 gallons of kosher wine. So wine and wine, even though you have a half to 60, you have 120 times as much, but min b'mina b'mashu, so it doesn't become, but in addition to the wine, there are 40 gallons of water in this pit, in this bar. So true, the wine, the trefa wine that fell into the 60 gallons, half a gallon of trefa wine falls into 60 gallons, 100 gallons of kosher wine. So mimimina, wine and wine is b'mashahu, but there are 30 gallons of water there. So the water is mimishenamina with the wine. So I ignore the fact that there's kosher wine. That would have been mimimina b'mashahu. It's mimimina v'dover acher. Trefa wine fell into kosher wine and kosher water. So don't say the trefa wine masses up all the kosher wine and now you have 101 gallons of trefa wine. I had 1 gallon of trefa wine, falls into 100 gallons of kosher wine. So mimimina b'mashu, and then I have water. So wine and water is mimishenamina. So is it enough just shishim against the trefa wine that fell in? So no, the trefa wine fell into the... If the trefa wine first fell into the kosher wine and everything becomes trefa, because it's b'mashu, and then you want to be mevatel all that osadika wine with water, so you need shishim and the water connected the 101 gallons of wine because everything became treif. But if lechatchila the treif of wine falls into a bor that has 100 gallons of kosher wine and it has 50 gallons of water, so ignore the fact that there's kosher wine there. I say wine and water is mim shenamina, so if you have shishim in the water, it's bottle. And then the mim b'mina also doesn't bother me. You don't say mim b'mina b'mashu in such a case. If the wine fell into a mixture of milchatchila, it fell into a mixture of wine and water, I say the water is mevatel b'shishim, if you have shishim in the water, against the wine. And then I don't say mim b'mina b'mashu anymore. So he says over here, if it went in two stages, he cooked the tray for fish, the kosher fish, and you didn't have shishim. And then you're not supposed to mix in kosher fish in order to be vatel. But if it fell in, a lot of kosher fish fell in, but now you only have shishim, a lot of kosher fish fell in, not kosher fish. Nochmal. He cooked the treifa fish with kosher fish, so that's min b'mina, so it's not batel. And then later on, they have some a different min is there. You have a water. You pour in water. Right, if you pour in water, you pour in vegetables and other stuff. So if you would have had shishim in the vegetables, keneged the treifa for wine, it would have been batel b'shishim. But since he first cooked the treifa, since he first cooked with fish, since he first cooked the treif of fish with kosher fish, so all the kosher fish became treif, so now you need shishim, keneged the whole thing. It's not enough if you have shishim in the vegetable soup against the treif of fish alone that fell in, that's not enough. It's a mim sheni mina, but you need shishim, keneged the whole tarubis that it became also in the first place. So that's what Rav is driving at. That's what Rav explains. So on this Gemara, there's a whole literature in Taisus. Rav, when he disagreed with Rabbi Bar Bachana, Rabbi Bar Bachana doesn't believe that mim and min and mashal. Like we paskin, we don't paskin mim and min and mashal. So we say, as long as I have shishim, everything is bottom. But Rav holds, then mimina is going to be mimashu. So that's why he says, if you cook the treifa fish together with kosher fish, even if you have shishim in the kosher fish against the treifa fish, it's mimashu. Then later on, if you pour in vegetable soup, you're going to need shishim in the vegetable soup, keneged the whole taruas. That's what he says. So here the Rishonim are bothered with a question. Why does Rav say, kim shenasan tam b'chaticha? The treifa fish gives a flavoring into the kosher fish, and then later on you add a lot more fish. You add a lot more. So why does he say the treifa fish gives in the sinus? That means he didn't have shishim in the kosher fish against the treifa fish. What if he did have shishim? It's min b'min. It's going to be min b'min. It's going to be b'mashahu anyway. So all the kosher fish is going to be treif anyway. So why does he only say his din if the treifa fish fell into kosher fish and you didn't have shishim, so it succeeded in giving in the sinas tam? So then, if you add a ton of fish later on, then it's going to be min b'min b'mashu. It's going to be min b'min b'mashu anyway. It's going to be b'mashu anyway. That's what the Bali Atesis are working on. So the Ramban says he doesn't think that it's to be taken literally. When Rav says, kim shenasan tam b'chaticha, since the treifa fish gives nesinas tam into the kosher fish, it was cooked in a pot where there was no shishim, so he says, lav dafki, even if there was shishim in the first one. Rav paskens like Rav Yehuda, the min min of b'mashehu, so even if it's lo nasan tam b'chaticha, even if you have shishim in all the kosher fish against the treifa fish, all the kosher fish becomes treif, because min min of b'mashehu. And then if some of this falls into another pot, vitamin b'mina, so it's going to be trey mashu. So it'll be a mashu of a mashu. It'll keep on going, it'll be a mashu of a mashu. That's what the Ramban says. He thinks that it's not meduyak. When the Gemara, when Rav says, kiven shenasan tam b'chaticha, it does mean nasan tam, means kiven that the whole, all the kosher fish that was there in the beginning became treif, because of min b'mashu. So if some of that falls into another pot, the vitamin is going to be min b'mashu. That's the Ramban. So on Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote that Ramban.
And the issue is that he used the word tam as opposed to saying...
Yeah, kim shenasan tam means that you don't have shishim.
Meaning, when Rav asers min b'minu b'mashu, it's not because of tam.
Right.
Because of some other reason that we...
There is no tam. Yeah, there is no tam. Min b'minu, we assume, usually has the same flavor. So it's never nice and tam. So what it means is, kivin shenasan tam, you didn't have shishim and the heter against the yisa. But the question is, but Rav holds min min and mimashu, so what does he have to say? The treifa fish got cooked with a pot full of kosher fish, and there was no shishim in the kosher fish against the treifa fish, even if there would have been shishim. It's min min and mimashu, so all the kosher fish would be treif. And then even if kodem is silka, even if you take out, I can identify which is the whale and which is the tuna fish. I throw the whale out, I feed it to the dogs. But now the tuna fish have a bliya from the whale. Right. So now if I cook it with a ton of other tuna fish, it's going to be min min b'mashu. So it'll be a double mashu. So it'll be a mashu b'mashu, trey mashu.
Is is it possible to say that if there's less than shishim in the other pieces of meat, the kosher pieces of meat, then the kosher pieces of meat become a piece of nevela? But if there is more than shishim, the meat can't be eaten because it's min b'mino, but it doesn't become a piece of nevela if you have additional items in there or add additional items later on for it to be mevatel.
Why not? That's the question.
I don't know why not. But is it possible to say it?
So the Taz says like that. Taz says like that. The Taz says, let's say, chomitz b'pesach is b'mashu. It's a chumra midirabam. In a Torah, there is no such thing. So let's say you're cooking a pot of soup on Pesach, and a little piece of bread, a little cookie falls in. You clearly have shishim. You have shishim against it, but that's the din. The chametz b'pesach is mamash, and it's cooking for a while. Then you realize, you take out the chametz and take out all the crumbs, you throw it in, you burn it, whatever, you flush it down the toilet. So the pot of soup is all trait because chametz b'pesach is mash. If it would get mixed in before Pesach, so chametz kerma pesach is bottled b'shishim. The chametz that falls in on Pesach, chametz b'pesach is mamash. So I pull out the cookie and all the crumbs, and I flush it down the toilet shine. But I can't drink the soup. Then a little bit of this soup, by mistake, I take a spoonful of soup and I pour it into the next pot of soup. I clearly have shishim against the whole spoon of soup. But here it's a tray mashu. It was a mashu in the first pot because it was a little tiny cookie and there was way over shishim and everything there. And then a little spoonful from this soup was tossed into the next pot, and I clearly have shishim against that. So the Taz says, from this Gemara, you see that whenever there's a din of mashu, you don't say mashu twice. He says it's a kavachaymer. Chametz b'pesach is b'mashu is only mid'rabbanan, and min b'midah b'mashu according to Rabbi Yehuda is a din deraisa. So even though Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'midah b'mashu is a din deraisa, you don't say trei mashu. It's only so far ad kan v'loyaisa. You don't say tzvei mol mashu. So by chametz b'pesach, it's only b'mashu mid'rabbanan. So for sure you don't say trei mashu. That's the Taz in Yeridah. That's what he says. You never say, whenever you have a din of mashu, whether the din is there, I said there abanon, it's only once mashu. You don't say tzvei tamal mashu. That's why you have to have nas natam b'chaticha. If it's loy nas natam b'chaticha, it's going to be a second mashu, you don't say. So the Shach writes, the Shach has a commentary on Yeridah, and the Shach also has hasogas on the Taz. The to resolve is the Taz, so to reserve Nasoch in the Kudus HaKosev. That's a Pasuk in Shir Hashir. So the Shach wrote the Kudus HaKosev is Hasogas on the Taz. So he has a long Hasoga, and he says he never heard of any Pasuk in his right mind who says that. No, none of the Rishonim, none of Achram, nobody says that. It's wrong. The question is, why is it wrong? So he says, no. He says, it's only over here, because your beauty holds Min B'mina B'mashahu. So Yayin B'yayin, Chola B'cholov, Dam B'dam, Bayim b'mayim, that's min b'mina. If you have, you cooked treif of fish in the same pot with kosher fish. So if you have shishim in the kosher fish against the treif of fish, so you take, can't eat the kosher fish because min b'mina b'mashahu. But the kosher fish are not really treif. You can't eat it because it has a belief of treif. Then if you take some of this kosher fish and you drop it into a different pot and you have shishim against it, so what are you going to say? Min b'mina b'mashu. What do you have to be mevatel? You have to be mevatel the blia of the treif of fish. You don't have to be mevatel the kosher fish. The kosher fish remains kosher. You just can't eat it because it has a blia of the treif of fish. So you only have to be mevatel the blia of the treif of fish. But if it's b'mashu, if it didn't succeed in giving an asinus tam, then it's not called min b'mina with the rest of the kosher fish. Chametz b'pesach is b'mashu ben b'mina ben shalom b'mina. So even trei mashu amrina. Why should you say trei mashu lo amrina? Only over here, Rabbi. The Taz made a kavachaim. If Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mina mashu min ha-Torah, and you don't say mashu tzvei mol, you only say it once. So kavachaim b'chametz b'pesach is only b'mashu with the rabbana. You shouldn't say twice. There's a limit how far you don't say twice mashu. So the Shach said that's not the pshat. You don't say trei mashu here because it's min mishena minai. The blia of the treif of fish that got absorbed in the kosher fish, there's shishim against it. It doesn't have any tam at all. If it would have been min mishena minai, it wouldn't have been nice and tam. So that blia, you don't have to be mevatel the kosher fish, you only have to be mevatel the blia from the treif of fish. The blia from the treif of fish is insignificant. And in contrast to the rest of the kosher fish that is going to fall into now, this has no tam and that has tam like fish. And that's min mishena mina. That's what the shachtain is. This din, that shei mashu hulay arminon, that's what you see in the Gemara. Only kivish and nas natam b'chaticha. If there was no shishim when the treif of fish was initially cooked with the kosher fish, and then after I identify the whale and I throw it out, caught him a silko, so you still say now it's going to be b'mashu, the bliya that's in the kosher fish, it's going to be mashu with the rest of the fish. So that's only if it was nice and tam originally for us, nice and tam not. Why? Because then it's not called mem b'mina. Tam of a mashu, it doesn't have an asinus tam, so that's a min mishen aminai with the kosher fish that has a tam of a fish.
The white min mishen aminai is still fish.
You mean it should depend what the basa shmaz lina basa time was lina. If you have basa shmaz lina, so then it's fish and fish. So then, if you would have said that was the achlokes abai v'rabba, how do you decide? How do you determine whether any given taruva says min mina min mishen aminai? So Abaye says, basa time maslin, it depends what does it taste like. We pass like rubber, basa shmaslin. So you're saying, even if it doesn't give an asinus tam, but it's still called fish. That's a starker kasha. That's a starker time. I don't know.
But you said the fish itself is mutta. It's only the belia that was
outside. Right, the fish itself is mutta. You only have to calculate how you're going to invatle a tray for belia. So because the tray for belia have shishim against it, and the kosher fish, you can't eat the kosher fish because min minim mashahu. So that treif of bliya from the treif of fish and the kosher fish is called min mishena mina with the rest of the kosher fish that you're going to add on now. Why is it min mishena mina? Because it didn't have any nesina stam. So he tainas that would have been good if the din would have been like Abai, that determining whether something, two things are min mishena mina, it depends on the taste. So this, it doesn't have any taste at all because you have shishim against it. But we don't pass like Abai, we pass like Rava. It depends basa shema, not basa taina. I don't know. That's a starker time.
When the Gemara's phrase is Haticha Nasas Nevera.
Yeah.
So, does that mean the Shach's comments, he has to reread that as not really Nevela, because if it's actually Nevela.
Yeah, it doesn't mean Haticha Nas Nevela. He was talking, let's say, Dag Tomei. Dag by fish, there's no Nevela. Doesn't just means you have to calculate shishim keneged the whole thing. That's this gigantic tesis is very halacha lemaisa in industrial kashrus. In the private homes, it rarely comes up. Rarely comes up. It's a machlokes in industrial kashrus. You have some kind of a food that has 25 ingredients from 25 different countries in the world. So the kashrus organization that gives the endorsement has to check out all the ingredients to make sure everything is kosher. So then, they don't buy all the 25 ingredients, they mix them all together, the vasachas. They mix together ingredient number one and number two together, and then they send that to California, and they mix it with number three, and then they send it to South Carolina, and mix it with all the others. So sometimes, you'll mix a treif ingredient with a kosher ingredient, you won't have shishim in that taruas. In the final end product, you're going to have way more than shishim against the treif ingredient. There's only one treif ingredient, but it originally it didn't have shishim. So then the Rabbi Natam says, since initially there was a stage at which time that you didn't have shishim against the treif ingredient, now you need shishim against the whole carrier of the issa. And a lot of times you won't have. At the end of the day, you'll have shishim against the treif ingredient, but you won't have shishim. Originally, I mixed one with two, and then you didn't have shishim, and now you need shishim against one and two together. That's what the Rabbi Natam holds. And the Ramah is machma like the Rabbi Natam. And the Rabbi Ephraim, the Talmud of the Rabbi Natam, disagrees with his Rebbe. He says no. And Rav HaRishonim agree with the Rabbi Ephraim, the Mechaber. Paskins like the Rabbi Ephraim in Regensburg, that you don't say Chaticha Nas Nevel, only a Basa B'cholov you say. Basa B'cholov is like that. Let's say you're cooking flesh in a pot and you pour in a little bit of milk. By mistake, you pour it in milk and you have shishim against it. Does not have anything to stop. So if you have shishim against it, it doesn't create basa b'cholov. But let's say you pour in a lot of milk and you don't have shishim in the flesh against the milk and it succeeded in giving the sinus tam. So you're going to take any piece of flesh, you're going to taste the flavor of the milk. So that's basa b'cholov. So you violated the aver of bishul basa b'cholov and it's also achil. But let's say you pour out all the liquid and you fill up the pot, half tray for flesh, that's basa b'cholov. Now fill up the pot with water. And by cooking the flesh in water, a lot of the flavor of the milk will go into the water. So I spill out all of that water, I cook some more water. Every time I cook more water, I'm flushing out more of the milk from the treif piece of flesh. So I will, after cooking a few times, I will succeed in removing so much milk from the piece of flesh that it no longer tastes like milk. So that's a machlekes hatanam leilam daf kufches. You say, once it became basa b'cholav, it remains basa b'cholav, even though now you can no longer taste the flavor of the milk. Or do you say, no, if now you don't taste the tich achatich hatzma chazeres lehetera? So we paskan by basa b'cholav, we paskan achatich hatzma. Once you cook basa b'cholav, it remains basa b'cholav. If you would succeed in removing every speck of milk, there wouldn't be any milk at all. That's a machlekes achrayim. Whether it's going to be chazal lehetarim, we paskan us. Shach paskans us. But in the Gemara, they don't discuss that. What if you remove every speck of milk? They talk about a case, you removed so much milk that now you have shishim in the flesh against the milk, and you can't taste it. So there we paskan, that's chaticha nas namela bebasa b'cholav. The chaticha became basa b'cholav remains. Here we're talking chaticha nas namela b'shari surim, not in basa b'cholav. The treif ingredient was mixed in with a lot of kosher ingredients, but you don't have shishim against it, so everything is aser. You can't eat anything, and then a lot more heter falls in. So now I have now at the end of the day I have shishim against the treif ingredient, but I don't have shishim against the original taruvas. So that the Rabbeinu Tam is machmer that you carry over mid the rabbanim, just like by basa b'chavad there's a din chatich nasmele deraisa. So we carry over mid the Rabbanah to Shari Sum, he also says Chatich Hatzma Nasas Nevela. And the Rabbein Ephraim says there is no such thing. I, but the Gemara says Chatich Hatzma Nas Nevela. So the Rashbo explains, how does Rabbein Ephraim read the Gemara? The Gemara says Chatich Hatzma Nas Nevela. So he says, no, we're talking about a case like this. We don't know exactly how much Nevela meat, or how much Dak Tome fell in. You don't know how big was the piece of Nevela. I caught him a silka. I identify the whale and I throw it out later on. I feed it to the dogs. But I don't know what was the volume of the piece of whale, fish, that fell into the pot in the first place. It was probably bigger than it is now. Now it's been cooking for a long time, so a lot of the flavoring of the whale blended in with the rest of the food in the pot. How big was the whale in the first place? So that's what the Gemara says. It can't exceed the volume of the whale that I take out and feed to the dogs, and the volume of the whole taruvas. So that's what the Gemara says, chaticha atzman asmela, for the purpose of calculating shishim, the worst it could be is the volume of the whale that I'm throwing to the dogs, not plus the volume of all of the kosher fish that was cooked with it in the first place. So now you know for sure that you have shishim. That's the big machlekas. So we pass like the Rabbeinu Tam, that you do say chaticha, the simple reading of the Gemara, you do say chaticha nas nevela even mishar isurim, but there's a machlekes in Tosfos whether Rabbeinu Tam shita is deraisa derabanan. The Tosfos here assumes Rabbeinu Tam is deraisa, and we don't pass like that. We pass like the Tosfos later on daf kufches where they say beferish that the Rabbeinu Tam shita is only midirabanan. Chaticha nas nevela mishar isurim is only midirabanan afkamina for safik derabanan lekula. Sometimes you're not sure whether any treif has fell in or not. It could be yes, could be no. You're not sure what the facts are. So if the whole din of chaticha nas nevela b'shari surim is only the rabban, you have the suffix, in the end of the day, you're going to have shishim against it. And you're not even sure whether any treif has fell in. And even if treif has fell in, at the end of the day, you're going to have shishim against it. You're just not going to have shishim against the original taruvus when it fell in. So if the whole thing is only with the rabbanon, you have a suffix. If it went wrong at all, so then Rabbi Shlomo Eger says that we're mekel on that because the whole thing is only with the rabbanon. Yeah, so this is a famous thesis. Okay. Genuk. Okay. Now we're going back to the basic topic of the parakas, get on Osher. Okay. In the slaughterhouses, usually the Shvarts are the ones that remove the Gid HaNashah. They know better than the rabbis. They've been there for a long time. So there was a Machlekes HaTanan, does a Gid HaNashah. The front two legs are called the arms, and the back two legs are called the legs. So you have to rip out the Gid HaNashah from the back leg or the back legs. Both the right leg and the left leg are only from the right leg. So that was a Machlekes in the beginning of the parak. We passed them both legs. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was it only applies to one of the two legs, and he thinks Adas Naita that it should be the right leg. And we don't pass like that. We pass Gid HaNashah's also both legs. Then we had the Gemara said there are two Gid HaNashah's. One is deeper into the big fat leg, deeper in closer to the bone. That's the Gid HaNashah Deraisa. Then there's another Gid HaNashah that's further out, closer to the skin, closer to the surface of the skin. That's only the Rabban. And even the one that goes, that's closer to the bone, the one that's also minatera, it's only also that part of the gira nasha that goes a la kaf. When you have the two joints by the knee, when you have the bottom part of the leg joins the thigh, so the gira nasha goes the whole length of the leg. It goes from the ankle to the knee higher up, but only that part that goes over the calf, that crosses over the calf, the round part, like this, one joint on top of the other, minatar, only that's awesome. And the Rabban, they asked the whole length of the Gira Nasha, then they asked even the Chelev on top of the Gira Nasha, and the Rabban, fine. So here there's an Achlekes HaTanaim, does Gira Nasha apply to horses, to elephants, to non-kosher animals, or does it only apply to kosher animals? So that's a Machlekes in the Mishnah. Noi b'tor, ve'er noi b'tmeya. It only applies to a kosher animal. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Af b'tmeya. You're not even allowed to eat the gira nasha of a non-kosher animal either. What's his argument? How does he know? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to prove it. Haloi, when did the prohibition of gira nasha begin? Koidem atan Torah zatzah. Koidem atan Torah, their laws of kashrus weren't given yet. Kosher animals, non-kosher animals, wasn't given yet. They knew that there's such a thing as a kosher animal, non-kosher animal. Noach already was told. Well, the teva, he should take seven pairs of kosher animals and how many pairs of non-kosher animals?
One.
Schneim means one pair. Forgot about it. I think one pair of non-kosher animals and seven pairs of kosher animals. Why seven pairs? So he understood it's supposed to bring karbonos. He understood you're not allowed to bring karbonos on the behemoth meyer, and he understood he's supposed to bring karbonos. He got the hint. So after the malbo was over, he made him his mech and he brought karbonos. He got the hint. So they knew that there's such a thing as kosher animal and not kosher animal, irrelevant for bringing karbonos. But as far as eating it, the laws of kasher is not to eat pig and not to eat horse and not to eat elephants. That was only given in Har Sinai. When was the mitzvah gira nasha given? So Rabbi Yehuda claims the mitzvah gira nasha was given and the malach broke Yankel Avinu's leg and Parshas Vayishlach. So at that time, it was irrelevant. It was irrelevant whether the animal is kosher or non-kosher. So when the mitzvah gira nasha was given, it applied equally to kosher animals, non-kosher animals. Then I'm going to say, and then after Maimon Hasina, so the nature of the mitzvah changes, it only applies to kosher animals. So Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't make sense. Amr Abiyudah said, he argues, V'alom ibn-e Yankiv, Nasi Giran Asha. It was also when the Malach broke his leg. Akein L'yochu b'nei Yisrael's Giran Asha means the children of Yankiv Avinu. Akein L'yochu b'nei Yisrael. Yankiv Avinu's name was changed. He's called Yisrael. Akein L'yochu b'nei Yisrael doesn't mean the Jewish nation doesn't eat. I mean the children of Yisrael, children of Yankiv Avinu don't eat Giran Asha. V'adayim b'heimah b'heir t'meyo muteris lehem. It was mutter to eat horses and elephants and donkeys and so on. So it must be the Gira Nasha applies. Amrulai, so the Chachamim said, if that would have been true, that Gira Nasha was given to Yankel Abanov, then you're right. It would have even applied to non-kosher animals. Your argument is good. But we disagree on the basic premise. Amrulai said, they said, we think it's not true. B'sinai Ne'emar. The mitzvah of Gira Nasha wasn't given after the Malach broke his leg. It was only given Har Sinai. Hakam is written in Parsons Vayishlach, Al Shenichta Bemkom, and the Chumash wrote it there in Vayishlach. At the end of the 40 years of traveling in the Midbar, the Rabban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, write the pasuk over there, okay, Melech Menei Yisrael's Gira Nasha. But that wasn't told to Yaakov Avinu, that was told to Moshe Rabbeinu in the 40 years of traveling in the Midbar, and it was put in Parsons Vayishlach. We should know the historical background, what Gira Nasha is supposed to represent. What is the Taka supposed to represent? That's why we don't need Gira Nasha to remember this story. What is the significance of remembering this story? So the Mefarshim explained that usually a Malach represents Teva. The Gemara has a Loshen, Ein L'chol Kalesa V'Yesed Milamata. Every blade of grass has a Malach Milamayla, Hamaka Osa, Lomalo Gadel. So Malachim usually mean Teva. And when the Jewish people fights against Teva, so we win. We break our leg. Many millions of Jews were killed over the years, pogroms and Holocaust and everything, but the Jewish people survived even though it's unnatural, even though it doesn't make sense. Even though Jewish history is l'mayla min ha-teva. That's what we're supposed to remember. Okay, l'yach b'nei Yisrael's Gira Nasha. We don't need Gira Nasha to keep in mind that klal Yisrael is l'mayla min ha-teva. That's what the Gemara has a whole sugya. Yeah, the Masechus Shabbos, Ein Mazel Yisrael. It doesn't mean the Jewish people don't have good luck. That means we have a lot of good luck. The Gemara tells different stories. It means we're not Tachashlitas HaKachovim V'HaMazolos. teva. Everything in teva is a system, and Jewish history is lemaila min hateva. That's what it means. We are not tachas shlitas hakohav mamazolus. That's called ein mazal yisrael. Shut. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah. Gid anashi even applies even to a non-kosher animal. Freg the Gemara akasha. Misaver Rabbi Yehuda yisrael chal alisa. What does it mean? Rabbi Yehuda says if you eat the gid anashi of a horse. So you get same old malkas. You get malkas because you're eating horse meat, and you get malkas you're eating the geranosh of a horse. But isn't there an issue of ein yisachal alisa? When the female horse became pregnant with a vlad in her rechem, so there's already an issa behemet meyer. But then the geranosh doesn't develop till later. So the geranosh issa is chal after the issa behemet meyer. So don't we have a rule ein yisachal alisa? Once it already is also another issa can't be chal on top of it. So Rabbi Yehuda says Gironosh is chal on top of Behemoth Meyam. Does that mean issa chal alisa? I've hatani, we have a brisa. He holds any issa chal alisa. We have a brisa v'hatani. Rabbi Yehuda Meir Yochot Hei Nivla Seif Tomei Metame B'gadam Abeis Habliya. There's a din if you have a human being dies, a person dies. So the pasuk says in Chumash Adam Ki Yomis Ba'oyel. If a person dies, metami b'maga b'masaba. B'maga means if you touch the body. If you're wearing gloves, or you touch the mace where the mace has clothing on, so there's no maga. So if you push the mace, let's say like this. So if I push, I'm wearing gloves and I push the mace, so that's masa. Masa means either I pick up the mace, even I'm not touching, or if I push the mace like this, that's masa. And even if there's no maga and there's no masa, but I'm in the same ohel, the mace is over there and I'm over here, and there's one roof that goes on top of him and on top of me, so I'm mace metame ba'ohel. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. That third din, and the mace is metame ba'ohel, that only applies, adam ki yomis ba'ohel, only if a Jew dies in an ohel, or even if a nochri dies. But even if you should assume the Rama paskins that the mace yakma not metame ba'ohel, but it's metame b'maga b'masa, you told me 7 days. And you need hazash leishin shvi paraduma water, and then you have to go to mikvah. It's still. So that's it. If a human being dies, it has the highest level of tumah. If a behemoth drops dead, never had any shchita, or an elephant drops dead, never an elephant even had shchita. The shchita is not chal on a horse. Shchita is not chal on a behemoth tumea. So the behemoth tumea, even if you do shchita, or if a behemoth toira didn't have shchita and it dies, so that's metame b'maga u'b'masa, but it's not metame ba'ocha. It's metame b'maga masa. Is he not tummy for 7 days? You don't need hazaras. You don't need have to sprinkle paraduma water on him. He just goes to the mikvah and he has the same day that he touched the maga masa on the nevela. He goes to the mikvah and he's harav shemesh and he's tor. What if you have an oif didn't have a shchita, and oif didn't have shchita? So nivlas oif tohar is metame. It's only metame when you swallow it. Not metame b'maga. Not metame b'masa. Only mitame abeis habliya when you. It doesn't mean if you hold it in your mouth and you spit it out. It means if you swallow it, if and when you swallow it, so nivla seif tohar is mitame abeis habliya. What about nivla seif tomei? What about an eagle? Oif tohar means you buy chicken from the AMP. A turkey, that's an oif tohar, but it didn't have a shchita, so that's a nivla seif tohar. What if you have a nivla seif tomei? So that's not mitame at all. Even if you swallow it, it's not mitame at all. So Rabbi Yehuda argues the point. He proves that itself. Where is it? Rabbi Yehuda Miyochel, one might mistakenly argue the point and think that nivla seif tamei metamei b'gadim. They say metamei b'gadim means when you swallow nivla seif tohor, it's metamei you and metamei the b'gadim that you're wearing. Even if you're not touching the b'gadim, let's say the tie is not touching my neck. The tie is on top of my shirt. My undershirt is touching my body. So when I swallow the nivla seif tohar, my body becomes tamei. So my undershirt, my underwear is touching the body, but the tie is my shirt is touching my body over here because I don't have an undershirt that goes so far. But the tie is not touching my body at all. But that's halach any begodim that you're wearing. Metame begodim abeis abliya means when you swallow the nivla seif tohar, it's metame you, and it's metame all the begodim that you wear. So one might mistakenly think that the din even applies to a dead eagle. Nivla soif tomei. Tamalaymar, not so. How does he know? Chumash says, Nivela trefa lo yochal le tomavo. You shouldn't eat nivela u trefa, because if you do swallow it, if you eat it, it'll be metameyu. So Rabbi Yehuda darshens bishay surim mishum bal techen nevela. The only time it's metame abeis ablia is only if it's a kosher bird, it's a chicken, a turkey, and if and if you didn't give it a good shechita, or you gave it a good shechita, but it has a, it's a diseased animal, it's a trefa. So mishay surim mishum nevela trefa. If it's a beinat tamei, sheni yisur mishem b'altechem neveila, el mishem b'altechem tamei. If you have a dead eagle, even before it died, it had an isur oif tamei on it. So when it dies, you don't slap on another isur of neveila on top of the isur of oif tamei, because ein isur halal isur. So you see, the Reb Yehuda subscribes to the rule. They have to. It doesn't really say, it's not such a popular rule, ein isur halal isur. It's conceivable that there are Tanoim who dispute the whole rule. So they had to prove, they had to dig up a brisa from the Torah's Kohanim. Stam Sifra is Reb Yehuda. Whenever there's a Sifra and it doesn't say what the name of the Tan is, we assume that Stam Sifra is Reb Yehuda. So they say Reb Yehuda is the one who holds Ein Isach Halalisim. That he says the Nivlas Ha'oif is Metame Beis Abla only if it has an Isa Nevela. And if it's an Oif Tame, Ein Isach Halalisim, so it won't have an Isa Nevela. It will just have an Issa Oif Tomei. It won't have an Issa Nevela. So the Gemara asks, so why? So you see, the Rabbi Yehuda holds Ein Issa Chalal Issa. So how can he say over here that if you eat the Gid Anoshe of a horse, the Eloike Mishum Gid Anoshe? Why? But it has an Issa horse on it. It has an Issa Behemet Tomei on it. So how is the Issa Gid Anoshe Chal on top of the Issa Behemet Tomei? So there's room to explain. There's a good terrace. V'chitema, maybe you'll say v'chitema. Maybe you'll say like this. Because some Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, and the gidden the noisim tam. That was a machlokes. Gid anoshe, all gidden, not only gid anoshe. The gidden in the body, they don't taste so good. It's a shvachet tam. So that's a machlokes. Satanaim is a dina kibosu. Is not dina kibosu. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not dina kibosu. Let's say you have an animal die. It's a behema. It's an avela. Or you have a behemoth tamei, you have an elephant. So the elephant has, let's say the elephant has horns. So the horns are not treif, the horns are not basar. Or you have, what do you have? You have bones, you have hard bones in the body that are not edible. You have certain parts of the body that are not edible. So the parts that are not edible are not called basar. So the Gemara says, v'chitema, maybe you'll give an answer. Kasav maybe Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is of the opinion, and the Gidman of Sintam. So the Gidanasha of an elephant and the Gidanasha of a horse or a donkey will only have an Issa Gidanasha, won't have an Issa Behemet Meir. Because then the Gidan Meir Isatam, so it's not Dina Kibasa, Eit Suvat Torah Srasa, it's on Atam, it's not called Besar Behemet Meir. So there's no Issa Tmeir. So maybe with Tmeir Nami, where Rabbi Yehuda says the Gidanasha of a Behemet Meir, of a horse is Asa, maybe Issa Gidika, Issa Tumaleka, it doesn't have an Issa, it's not Basar. So there's no Issa Behemet Tmei on it. So maybe that's what Rabbi Yehuda means in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda holds Noig B'Tmei, only the Issa Gid Anasha. There is no Issa Behemet Tmei. So they say you can't say, they want to say you can't say that. It's not true. The Sefer Rabbi Yehuda, and again, I said, Tom, is that true? That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. We know it's not true. Leo Hatanya, you have a Beferish Ebraisa, that have a Bekiris here to see what is Rabbi Yehuda. They had no computers, but they remembered everything. So they say, Rabbi Yehuda, Sheet, and Psochim, there's a Braisa. He says, if you eat the Gid Anasha of a horse, you get twice Malkus. One Malkus because Gid is Dina Kibasar. Yesh Begidin Menasatam tastes like Basar. And it's an Issa Behemet Tmeya. And also has an Issa of Gid Anasha. Reb Shimon Paita. Reb Shimon has, you're not like at all. The Gemara is going to say, how come you're not like at all? Nothing. No Issa Behemet Tmeya. And then Issa Gid Anasha. Nothing. Why not? Okay, that's going to be the next stuff they're going to discuss. Rabbi Yehuda is Mechayev Shtayim, says he gets way more Malkus against what's Malkus because Gid Anoshe, Gid is Bechlal Vosser, Yesh Begid Meres and Tam, the Shvacha flavor that it has is considered a shtick flesh and has an Issa Behemet Meir, and on top of the Issa Behemet Meir, the Issa Gid Anoshe is Chal. So how can it be? How can Gid Anoshe be Chal on top of Behemet Meir? Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda hold from the Klal that ain't Issa Chal Al Issa? That was the Kasha. That's the Gemara's kasha. And for the Gemara, Liyonim Kasav, Yesh Begid Menas in Tam. You prove that conclusively. The Buddha holds that Gid is Dina Kibasa. And he also holds Ein Issa Chal Al Issa. So how can the Issa Gid Anasha, isn't the Issa Gid Anasha Chal second, when the Behema is a Uber inside the mother's body, Chilas Yitzirus HaUber, so it's already called, already has an Issa Be'emet Meya on it. And when the Issa Gid on Ashechal, that's at a later stage. So is this in violation of the rule Ein Issa Chal Al Issa? And the Gemara, Le'on Kasavi Yesh Begid Menas, and Tam, you're right, Gid on Ashechal is Dina Kibosa, and maybe he holds that the both Yisur Machal simultaneously. The only time you say Ein Issa Chal Al Issa is one Issa was Chal first, and then you want the second Issa to be Chal later. But if they're both Chal simultaneously, then which one are you going to Hemenai Mafkas? Which one are you going to throw out? So they're both Yisur Machal. There's even a Tosfos Yishonim, a Tosfos and Yevamos. What if the two Yisurim are not Chal exactly simultaneously? One was Chal after the other, but Turk Kedei Dibur. The Gemara has a case. A Koyin became Tomei, and became a Balmum simultaneously. A Koyin is Tohar, and he's not a Balmum. And then he touches a knife and he cuts his finger off with the knife. So the second he touches the knife, it becomes tamei. The knife is matamehim b'maga. Then the second after, the knife cut his finger off, so he just became a balmum. So now he's not allowed to be makor karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash for two good reasons. One reason because he's tamei, he's a tamei, and one reason because he's a balmum. And they're both chal b'vasacha. So the test says they're not chal b'vasacha. The second he touches the knife before it cuts his finger at all is metame b'maga. Then a second later, he becomes a balmum. So the test says, but it happens terke de dibra. So terke de dibra is considered b'vasacha. Even though we know it's not b'vasacha, the halacha doesn't recognize such a small amount of time. The tiniest amount of time that we work with is a shear of terke de dibra. The amount of time that it would take to say shalom aleichem. So the Gemara has a strange din. The end of Nidor, the Gemara has a din. Someone goes to the hospital to visit a relative, and he sees the relative is dead. So he rips kriya. Then he finds out the relative is alive. The relative dies after he ripped kriya, but the relative dies terke de dibur of when he ripped kriya. So the Gemara says, you yoytze, because terke de dibur ke dibur dami. We know that he ripped kriya before. But Aloha doesn't recognize such a small amount of time, so we consider it as if he ripped kriya simultaneously with the death of the relative. There's no din that requires that you have to rip kriya after the relative died. You can't rip kriya before he died, and if you rip it b'vasachas with the death of the relative, so then you say you are yotzei. So even to that extent, you say terke de dibur ke dibur domi, not only by speaking. The Gemara talks terke de dibur ke dibur domi. We in Shulchan Aruch, we talk. A guy said Biyom Chagamatzis Hazeh, and it's really Sukkah, so he corrects himself. Terke de dibur says Biyom Chagasukkah Hazeh. Okay, or he said Mekadosh Yitzvah Vazman, and then he realized he made a mistake and he said Mekadosh Hashabbos. So he corrects himself in dibur, but Terke de dibur ke dibur dam is not only in Yanim of dibur. I've got to say this: the Gemara says Eidim give a testimony. They're talking to Bezin, and they back out Terke de dibur and they say, "Oh, we just made a mistake. That's not true. Or this part, we made a mistake. That's our imagination. This part is true. This part is not true." So you can back out. Or a person takes a neder or a shvua, and he backs out from the neder of the shvua Terke de dibur. So we say Terke de dibur ke dibur dam, he has to do with talking. But or a person makes a mekach, he sells merchandise, and he gives it to me, and then after he gives it to me, he takes it back and says, "I back out from the kinyan. Here's your money back, and I want my merchandise back." So you can back out Terke de dibur because you're talking about dibur. But Terke de dibur ke dibur dami is not only by dibur; it goes on. It's called the nisa b'sachas when he cuts his finger. It's considered as if the isa balmum is chal simultaneously with the isa tamei, and Terke de dibur ke dibur dami is neged to ripping kriya also. Terke de dibur means it's considered b'sachas. The halacha doesn't recognize such a small unit of time. So we have a rule, Ein Issa Chal Al Issa, but there is an exception to the rule, Ein Issa Basachas, everybody agrees. If the two Issa are Chal simultaneously, then you can't, which one are you going to throw out? So they're both Chal. So the Gemara says, Le'olam Rabbi Yehuda holds Nachmo. Le'olam Rabbi Yehuda holds Yesh Begid M'Noisa Tam. So that's why he says, if you eat the gid of the Behemoth Meya, you get twice Malkus. Yesh Begid M'Noisa Tam Zvina Kibasar, so beside Behemoth Meya, and also get on Asha is Noi. I isn't get on Asha Chal later. So why don't you say Ein Issa Chal Al Issa? So he says no. He holds that it's Basachas. And for the Gemara, because Sov Rabbi Yehuda holds Noig b'Shlil. Shlil means the fetus. The Issa get on Asha is Noig even before the Behemoth is born. Noig b'Shlil. The Issa get on Asha applies even when it's in the form of before it's born. The Issa get b'Issa Tumah. That's called an Issa Basachas.
How could that be, though? I'm saying the Gidanasha develops at a certain point.
Oh, so the Gemara says biologically it's not correct. The Gidim are only developed at the end of the pregnancy. In the beginning, you have flesh, but you don't have Gidim. Frag the Gemara, Umi Matzitzamid Noeg B'Shlil. Can you say that biologically that's true, that Gidanasha applies to the Shlil? But it's not true, and scientifically it's not true, but Tanan, the Gemara is going to prove it from the Mishnah. He could have proved it, go ask a doctor. But the Gemara proves that the medical fact is that the Gidin developed later in the Uber. Why? Because we have a Mishnah. Because we have a Mishnah, Nechama. Oh, let's see. So first they ask the Kash, how can you say the Gidanosh applies even before it's born? But Tanan, you have a Machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Let's go back. There's a Dina Ben Pekua. A Dina Ben Pekua is if you have a pregnant cow and you shech the mother and the Uber is still inside and it didn't stick out any legs, then the shechit on the mother is chal on the Uber. So this is good if the Uber is not lokal alachadoshev, it's only a behema daka, the pregnancy is 5 months, a behema gasa, the pregnancy is 9 months. So let's say it's a behema gasa and it's a 9 month pregnancy. And the Uber, with Ashech the mother, the Uber is a Ben Ches. Adayin lekol lachadosh. Or the Uber is already Ben Tes, but it's Meis already, it's dead. The Uber died inside the Rechem Imo. Sometimes by human beings we know that that's the case. A woman's carrying a baby, and then the baby dies before it's born. So if you Shech the mother, the Shechita is Chal and Mata, the Uber, so this they all agree. If the Uber is a Ben Ches, Adayin lekol lachadosh, it's not yet full term. Or it's a bentes meis. What is a bentes chai? It's full-term pregnancy and the Uber is still alive. So that's machlekes Meir Rabbi Yehuda. The Meir says the ben pekua kula, that the shechit on the mother is chal on the Uber, doesn't apply. If it's a bentes chai, it's on its own. Even though it wasn't born yet, it's not nita b'shechit asim. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Even if it's a bentes chai, the din of ben pekua does apply. So when the din of ben pekua applies, not only does it allow you to eat the uber without shechita, you have to kill it, but you don't need all the chomesh of shechita. It allows you to eat the giranosha of the uber, and allows you to eat the chelav of the uber. Usually chelav is an isakaris, and giranosha is an isalav. Everything is mutter, because it's called by behemoth chelav. Why? But the dam is also, the dam of the uber is also only the giranosha chelav. Why is there a chelik in the dam and the... So the Rishonim give two explanations. The Poshita, one explanation is called by Behemoth Tochelu, eating. So the dam you drink, and the Giranosha, and the Chelav is a salad that you eat. So some Rishonim say like that. The Heta called by Behemoth Tochelu, and it goes on Midi Dachila, not on Midi Dishti. But it's usually assumed the other Pshat is the better Pshat. Giranosha is only knowing Al Kaf Hayerech, in a certain location. So you have, we treat the mother is pregnant, but the Uber. We treat it as if the Giranosh is in the rechem here. Giranosh is only also if it's on the back legs. If it's not on the back legs, the mother has back legs. The Uber is like an Eva in the Eva Rehum. So the Giranosh is in the stomach. And Chelev is only also Chelev certain locations. All the Chelev is in the rechem. The Chelev in the rechem is Mutta. But the blood is also anywhere in the body, the blood is also. The blood circulates all over the place. So the blood of the Ben Pekua is like blood on the mother. Dam is also from any part of the body. But the Ginanosha of the Uber and the Chelab of the Uber is Mutter because it's in the wrong location. Ginanosha is only also if it's on the back legs. It's not the back legs. Here it's in the womb. And the Chelab is in the womb. It's not Chelab al Gadi Akeris and so on.
That's true also, like would you say, if
the
a regular animal, but it's just deforms in whatever way. Happens to grow, it's
Gidanasha, not Al Kafayerech. Correct. Min HaTorah, only that part of the Gidanasha is also that goes over the Kafayerech. The part before, the part after is Mutter, Min HaTorah. And if the whole thing, nothing grows on the Kafayerech, so the whole thing is Mutter. Only also that part that's on the Kafayerech, that is correct. That is correct. And the Chelev also. The Chelev is a specific location where the Chelev is also. So the Gemara says, "Umi matzit samrid." What did the Gemara say now? Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you eat ginanosha from a horse, you get twice malchus. You get because yesh begin menasim tandina kibasar. So we eat the gidanosh of a horse. You're eating horse meat. It's not like eating the horns, or not like eating the toenails, or not like eating bones or something. No, gidanosh is yesh begin meres tams dina kibosi. You're eating behemet tmeya, and the yisig gidanosh is chal simultaneously birechem noig b'shlil. The yisig gidanosh is noig b'shlil. Frag the Gemara. How can you say b'sav Reb Yehuda? Does Reb Yehuda hold noig b'shlil? It's not true. How can you say Reb Yehuda holds that it's an isa basachas and the isa giranoshe applies when it's in the rechem? I've heard tonight we have a mishnah noig bishlu. Reb Yehuda ma'ed noig bishlu v'chal b'mutter. That was a machlokes amei Reb Yehuda. And for the Gemara, no, that machlokes amei Reb Yehuda is only if you shech the mother. If you shech the mother, and does the uber have a dinah ben pekua? So Amei says the dinah ben pekua only applies. Only applies if the uber is either ben ches loikol ala chadash, not yet full term, or it's a ninth month but it's dead already. The uber is mace. But it's a ben tes chai, that was a machlekes Ramei Reb Yehuda. Ramei has ben pekua is not chal. If the uber is a ben tes chai, and we pass like Reb Yehuda that it is the din of ben pekua is chal. But that's only if you shecht the mother, then there's a din of ben pekua on the vlad. So that's what the Gemara says. Hani Mili, when does Reb Yehuda say, "Ein anoig b'shlil gabi tohira"? If you shech the mother and it's a kosher animal, a cow, Rachmanu kol b'behemet tochela, that's where you learn out the din of ben pekua. When the pasuk kol b'behemet tochela abul b'tmeya, no, here we're talking about a horse, an elephant. So ben pekua by horse, there is no ben pekua by horse. You can't shech the horse. Shechita is not chal on a horse. So when is the iser? When is the Iser Gidon Oshachal? Right away. With the Tzirus Avlad. So the Iser Behemet Meir is Chal on the Ben on the Gid, because Yesh Begid Menasam Dina Kibosar, and the Iser Gidon Oshach is Chal simultaneously. Abo Behemet is Noi. Then the Gemara asks your kasha, but biologically it's not correct. Scientifically, biologically it's not correct. How can you say that the Issa Gidanosha is chal in the womb, in the beginning of the pregnancy, this simultaneously with the Issa Behemet Tameo chal on the fetus? The Issa Gidanosha is chal, but the Gid doesn't develop till later. The Behemet Tameo is already the uber, the fetus is there, and the Gid not developed later. How do you know? Because it says so in the Mishnah. You say, look in the book, they have pictures of what the fetus looks like by human beings. They have pictures of what the fetus looks like by behemoths also. So the Gemara knows it from the Mishnah of Hatanan. You have a Mishnah that says the Nazir has to observe three dinim of the Zir. Not allowed to drink wine. Gimel Minim Asur Menazir. That's the name of the Perek in Nazir. Gimel Minim, the three prohibition. One is the Nazir is not allowed to be Metamel Mason. He's not allowed to go to a funeral. Number two, he's not allowed to take a haircut. And number three, he's not allowed to drink wine. So what's the din if the nazir accidentally the nazir is in a movie theater, they have 1,000 people there, someone dies in the middle, somebody dies, they became tamei, it wasn't his fault. So the din is he has to have hazlos shishvi, has to shave off all of his hair. He accepted on himself to be a nazir for 30 days or for 100 days, however long, whatever. And then in the middle of the unit of time, whatever he said, 30 days, 100 days, middle of 20 years, middle of the time, somebody dies and he's metame. So he has to start all over again. Hayam harshan yitlu. So the Mishnah has, sometimes there's a tumas mesha, a nazir megalech, and sometimes the nazir is not megalech. Which tumas do you say you have to start all over again? You have to bring Karbanas Nozatame, the Yam Harishanim Yitlu, you have to start all over. So the Ramam coins an expression only if it became Tommy through Atzma Shameis. Sometimes you have a Tumas Meis, but a trick. You have a Tumas Meis without actually coming in contact with the Meis. How do you have that? Let's say, Cherev Harev Kecholo. The din is someone went to a funeral and he had with him a spoon in his pocket, a metal spoon in his pocket, or he had a watch, a metal watch in his pocket, wearing it. So the watch is mekabel tum, and the watch is matecha. So we say cherev harekel cholo, just like the cholo, the dead body is avi avoy satuma. So the spoon becomes, or the metal watch that he's wearing becomes also avi avoy satuma. So if a nazir is going to touch later on that spoon, he becomes tummy like touching the mace, but that's a tumas mace without atzma shel mace. without actually, because the pasuk says v'chayomis meisal befesa pisam, only if you have actual atzmus on meis. Well, let's say you have another case. Soif tumalotze is like this. Someone dies in the other room, so we close the door so the tumor doesn't go through. But they're not going to leave the mace over there. So we call a Chaver Kaddish, and the Chaver Kaddish is going to come. And the best way to take him out, they can either take him out the front door, take him out the back door. Take him out the front door, it's going to be uncomfortable. Someone dies, I remember, someone died in a hotel in Eretz Israel. So how do you take him out? You're going to take him out through the front lobby. So they took him out through the freight elevator. So the guests in the hotel shouldn't see them carrying out a dead body. It gives you a very uncomfortable feeling. You're staying in a hotel and someone died there. So they take him out in the back. So let's say the Chaver Kaddish, the mace is over there. They close the door. Chaver Kaddish is going to come. They're going to take the mace out the side exit. So even though the door is closed now and the tumor doesn't go through, that's called soif tumalotzis. We plan to open the door and to take the mace out over here. So there's already a tumas mace, even though the door is closed. That's called soif tumalotzis. We plan to take the mace out. So that's another example of tumas mace without actually coming in contact with atzma shel mace. But you have other cases like that. You have schocha sepros. You have sometimes you have tumah midirabbanan. That's also there's a tumas meis midirabbanan, but you didn't really come in contact with atzma shel meis. Let's say you have sometimes there are highways that border on the cars go by the highway. The cars go by, and there's a Jewish cemetery, and they have trees going over the first lane in the highway.
Like Chevron and Main Street.
Yeah. Every so often you have like that, the tree, the branches of the tree go over the Jewish Kvarim, then the branches of the tree go over the cars on the highway. So that's Tumas Ohel. So Minat Torah, very often it won't be Tumas Ohel, because you don't really have a Tefach al Tefach in one place. If you look up, from you're laying on the grass, and you look straight up, and you don't see three dimension. You just see two dimension. It looks like you have a whole roof of branches with leaves. But if you climb up on top of the tree and you look at it with the three dimensions, you don't have a tefach ha tefach. You have a little branch over here, a little branch over here. They're not touching each other. There's a little here, a little there. If you'd only look from the grass looking up, it looks like the whole thing is one big roof, but it's not. So that's Chachas Saprosa. That's Ohel Midirabbana. That's also, there's Tumas Mace, but the actual Mace there isn't. So the Mishnah distinguishes, the Nazir is only Megaleach, he only has to bring the Ziris Nazir Tami, the special Karbonis, and Yom HaRishonim Yipli has to start counting all over again. That's only if he came in contact with a real Atzma Shel Mace. So the Mishnah lists off, Aleila Tumas HaNazir Megaleach, which tumas, what's atzma shel meis, al ha-meis, he comes in contact with the whole dead body, or with the kazayis men ha-meis. The kasha lo, we were bothered with the kasha. If you tell me a kazayis men ha-meis, a kazayis ha-flesh, is it ready metame? So the zicha, if he comes in contact with the whole meis, the whole body has a lot of kazayis. So what did you tell me, al ha-meis, even a kazayis men ha-meis? That's tirim minei bein ha-mishnah. The kasha lo, we were bothered, al kazayis men ha-meis migaleach. He has to go through the whole ceremony, the whole procedure, has to shave off all the hair. The Nazir, when he's a Nazir, he's not allowed to cut his hair. He's allowed to cut his beard. The Kedushas Nazir is only on the hair on top of his head. Kidash is Rosha v'yamhu. It's Rosha lo yigalech. Rosha means the top part. The bottom part is not. He's not forbidden to shave the beard when he's a Nazir. And when he finishes the Nazir, he has to shave all his hair. He has to shave only the hair on top. He doesn't have to shave the hair on the bottom. Yeah. So the Gemara says, the kashalom we would bother with the kashal kazayis men ha-meis megalech. If he comes in cutting only with the kazayis, you say he has to start all over. Alameis kulo lekol shken. Rav Rabbi Yochanan says the comment is sometimes you have a hechetim, so you have a meis sholem, but it doesn't have a kazayis of basar. How is that possible? A meis sholem, a fat person, there's a lot of kazayis of flesh, but a little baby, a fetus. A fetus dies, so if the fetus dies by human beings, the Gemara says before 40 days, it's not called an Eifel. After 40 days, the 43rd day, the 44th day, the doctors have pictures in the books what the fetus looks like around the 43rd day. Less than 40 days for sure, not. And after 40 days, you have to check to see if it has its source of land. So before 40 days, there's no mace. And then 43 days, 44 days, the thing is so tiny. It's called a meis shalem, but there's no kazayis basa there. So that's the chiddush. Ala meis is megalech, even though there's no kazayis. Or if it's an adult who died, then they have kazayis basa. So kazayis man ameis mitame. If Amar Rabbi Yechon pshat is leinstachel a nefel, shalom eskashe evor begidin for a nefel, a fetus after 45 days or so. It's a meis shalom, but it's not fully developed yet. So it doesn't yet have. He says they give them the last part to be developed. So that's what the Gemara says. They give them. How can you say that the Yisid behemoth tmeya is chal on the fetus simultaneous with the Yisid gid anash, but the gidim don't develop till later? Alma, what do you see? Yisid tumekodim. The Yisid behemoth tmeya is chal from the very outset when the uber starts to develop inside the womb of the mother horse. And the Giranasha only sets in later. Giranasha says, "Hey, Mitzchal Alisa, how can I be to say you're Lord Kishtai?" And for the Gemara, nonetheless, Avagav the Isa Tuma caught him, even though the Isa Behemet Mer came first. Isa Tuma, nonetheless, Basi Isa Giranasha Chaylalei. Why? She can't Isa Anoy Bivnei Noach. What does that mean? It's not an Isa Basachas. It's the two ways to read it. Either it's an Isa which is Mochomer. Maybe he holds Issa Chalalisa if the second Issa is Mochoman than the first Issa. Usually we don't hold like that. Usually the rule is Ein Issa Chalalisa, even if the second Issa is much Mochoman than the first. Second Issa is Chalav and it's an Issa Kuris. And the first Issa is Behemet Temeya and there's no Kuris. So you still say Ein Issa Chalalisa, even though the second Issa is Mochoman than the first. Or, better pshat would be, that's what Tesi writes later, better pshat is that it's an Issa Maisif, that the Issa Gid Anoshe, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even applies to Bnei Noach, applies to more people. The Issa Behemet Meir only applies to Jewish people after Maimon Hasina. And the Issa of Gid Anoshe even applied to the Yankel Avinu and his children, Koidim Matan Torah. That's what the Gemara says. I forgot the Issa Tumah Kodim, even though the Issa Behemet Meir came first when it was an Uber. It's known by more people. So the fact that the second Issa Giranashi applies to more people, that's called an Issa Moisif. It's chalt on more people, so it's much more inclusive than the first Issa. The economic dictator, Rabbi Yehuda says, why? It's also to more people.
But it's not more people today.
Oh. In abstract, it's more people. In abstract. But in matter, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael tonight, so I'm going to be Mekatze. I'm going to be away for a week, but then after Shabbos Parsha Zohar, I'll be back. So we'll leave off here. I'll have to explain, theoretically, the Gemara says in other Masechtas, it's theoretically, it's adding on, if those people would still be alive, they died already 4,000 years ago, they died over 3,000 years ago. But theoretically, if they would still be alive today, it would be also today, maybe not the Eretz Meir as Mutta, that's called also an Issa Moisif. We'll have to say the other Gemaras. We'll have to. The Gemara talks about it. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Depends whether Shem Nech or Shnei Shemus. Okay, we'll leave that. In this week's segment, the Torah instructs us to make a Mishkan, and then it says you have to have the Orem, Tzipisa, if the Orem was made from wood, Orem Eitz, but they had to have gold on the inside and gold on the outside. So the Gemara says that the Orem was for the purpose of the Torah. So the Orem represents Hamidah Chachamim, and because it has to have gold on the inside, gold on the outside, so the Gemara says that shows that the Talmud Chacham has to be Tocho Kibaro. On the outside, it has to look like gold. Sometimes you have Talmud Chacham, they know a lot of Gemaras, but they look like idiots. They dress like idiots, like slobs. So it's not supposed to be like that. The Gemara says, Talmud Chacham Shinimser Vav Al Bigda, if he doesn't dress nicely, he's a Chil Hashem. It has to look like gold on the outside. It has to be gold, it has to be pure on the inside. Sometimes you have Talmid Chachamim, they dress nicely, they act nicely, but inside they don't seem to have so much Yirah Shamay. So the Gemara says Talmid Chachamim has to be gold on the inside, gold on the outside. Over the generations there was an ongoing debate whether they should permit everyone to enter the Beis HaMikdash, everyone who wants to learn, anyone and everyone who's Jewish wants to learn, they let him come in, or only Tocho Kibarim. So this is one of the opening Mishnah Pirkei Avos says the Anshei Knesset HaKdeva Heimam Shlosha Dvarim. Hamina Talmidim Harbe. What does that mean? So the Ovis Rav Nosson elaborates that over the generations this was a debate. Should you restrict the people in yeshiva only to those who seem to have Yirah Shamayim? We have no barometer to measure Yirah Shamayim. But what does it look like? So if it doesn't seem that the guy has Yirah Shamayim, then there's a machlekes in the days of the Tanaim. Should they allow him into the Beis Medrash? So the Gemara in Brachas tells when Rabbi Gamliel was a chief rabbi, the Beis Medrash was very, the smicha program was very small. And they only took in those who seemed to be tohu kibar. They had a couple of rotten apples then also, but they only allowed those who seemed to be tohu kibar, golden, the inside golden ounce. And then when they fired Rabbi Gamliel because of other policies that he had, and then Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah was appointed as the chief rabbi, so they opened up the gates and they had so many more benches were added on. Why do I say benches added on? Because they didn't have so much kavod haTorah, so they didn't learn standing up, so they learned sitting down. So they added on a lot of benches. And then the other stuff, and every generation, but this was a machlokes that repeated itself. In Europe, they had this machlokes. Should you only allow talmidim and yeshiva who seem to have a lot of yerushalayim, or you open the yeshiva to whoever wants to learn? So the Mishnah says, Anshei Knesset HaGadol, they said, Hamida talmidim b'harba, let everybody come in. But before and after them, there were different policies, but yes or no. Okay, so believe me, next week I won't be able to give a shiur. The week after, maybe we'll learn in Yanei Purim, we'll discuss a little bit, then we'll go back over here with your kasha. Why is it called an Issa Moses? Good.
I need an
Eric. They're prepared. They're prepared to accept.